The U.S. Congress may be standing on the tracks as the momentum to reach a nuclear deal with Iran gathers steam.
Now is not the time for us to impose new sanctions. Now is the time for us to allow the diplomats and technical experts to do their work.
While the White House and a coalition of nations and Iran nail down the details of a nuclear deal that could roll back sanctions against Iran significantly for the very first time, Congress is at the same time considering a bill to squeeze Iran's oil exports down to zero.
The best way to bring peace and make sure there's not a nuclear Iran is making sure they know that if they don't come to a good agreement, there are tougher sanctions that face them. And we're gaining a lot of support on both sides of the aisle for that point of view.
P.J. Crowley joins us, former State Department spokesperson and currently a professor at George Washington University. P.J., welcome back to the program.
A pleasure, John.
Let's talk about the potential for this deal that Charles Schumer is talking about, actually getting through the Senate over a presidential override. The numbers are inching closer to that possibility.
I certainly think that it's not necessary. Iran understands fully that if these negotiations fail, a new wave of sanctions, not just national sanctions from the United States, but international sanctions, will be forthcoming. What the administration is arguing is that, look, we've tried not only in this negotiation but over 5 years to keep the focus on Iranian behavior, not just in the nuclear front, its support of terrorism, its malignant role in the Middle East. And they don't want to put ready-made excuses on the table. Iran has already said that should this bill pass, they'll withdraw from negotiation. So if the negotiation fails, which is a reasonable prospect, the United States wants to make sure that the responsibility for that failure rests with Iran and not with the United States.
But isn't the Senate giving Iran an excuse to pull out, making it easy for these to fail, which might be something the Republicans want? There's polling evidence that suggests an Iran deal might favor the Democrats in 2014 and 2016.
Well, I think there's a mix of motivations here. I mean, certainly some may feel that, you know, playing the bad cop to the administration's good cop is an effective tactic. No doubt, John, that there are many who want to see this strategy, this negotiation fail. They're just highly skeptical, you know, that Iran will not only agree to a truce inspection, but that intrusive inspection would be successful in giving us confidence Iran is not hiding a nuclear weapon, you know, somewhere. And of course, this is an election year, and at least the first vote is easy politics, being tough on Iran, espousing a position that is probably sympathetic to supporters of Israel. But it really gets complicated if there's a override of the presidential veto.
And from the Iranian point of view, they make the argument that, look, we were cooperative. We were the good cop right after 9/11 in assisting in setting up a new government in Afghanistan. And our reward for that was the Bush Axis of Evil speech in the State of the Union address. We don't want to go down that road again. Do they have an argument that they need to be cautious because you never know where the rhetoric's going to come in the United States regarding Iran?
You know, for both the United States and Iran, the Twilight War, as it's been called, has been a fixture for both countries for more than three decades. And there are those who are skeptical that all they're after is complete surrender. I mean, I think the danger from the Iranian point of view is if these negotiations collapse, if their perception is that the United States and the international community have not negotiated in good faith, their conclusion is likely to be that the real issue is not about nuclear weapons. It's really about regime change. You know, one of their conclusions might be, you know, if we're never going to get out from under sanctions unless our regime collapses, the answer would be to actually build a nuclear weapon as the ultimate survival tool for the regime. And that's the danger here, that if you create the dynamic where Iran concludes that the West is not willing to negotiate in good faith, then you end up with the very result that you're trying to avoid.
Does the Congress want to drive a wedge between the U.S. and other members of the negotiating group who are far clearer that they want to get to a deal here with Iran?
Well, I think those that want to see the negotiation collapse because they just simply can't get their arms around a deal that doesn't involve the complete surrender of Iran's negotiating position, it's just a matter of it being very difficult to let go of this conflict that's been a constant in U.S. policy for 30 years. I think the danger here is that if, you know, and for the administration is it's assured Iran as part of the negotiation, that there won't be any sanctions as long as the negotiations continue. If Congress, in essence, overrides the president in the middle of a negotiation, and that's a level of intrusion into executive prerogative that I think is relatively unprecedented. It may well make some allies of the United States very happy. I mean, Saudi Arabia is very nervous about the prospect of a rapprochement with Iran. But at the same time, it's going to feed a perception regarding not only presidential leadership, but American leadership, that the United States can't, if it says something as a matter of policy, it ends up not backing it up.
On the other hand, P.J. Crowley, as a former State Department spokesperson, you get to see the high ground a little bit. Is it possible that a deal here, if it should happen and sanctions are reduced, would enhance the Obama administration and the U.S. ability to influence things like the civil war in Syria, where Iran has influence, and the situation in Lebanon, even between the Arabs and Israelis, if Iran were more of a partner and a much more credible interlocutor?
Well, certainly, when you look at the Iranian role in the Middle East, its pursuit of what it thinks is rightful hegemony in the region, part of it's about nuclear ambitions, part of it's about its support of terrorism, part of it's about its negative, from the United States' standpoint, role in the current civil war in Syria. So there's a lot of issues there. Taking the nuclear issue off the table may well lead to a broader conversation that addresses some of the other concerns that the United States and others has about the Middle East.
And if the Senate is too confrontational, that opportunity would be lost.
Well, that opportunity may be lost anyway, but certainly at the end of this negotiation, you want to put the international community and the United States in a stronger position so that, to the world community can say, we came to the table in good faith. We negotiated with Iran. It was not willing to let go of its nuclear ambitions, or it was not willing to open up its nuclear program to intrusive and effective inspection. And that sets the table effectively for not only more sanctions, but more sanctions that the world community will support.
P.J. Crowley, former State Department spokesperson, currently a professor at George Washington University. Thanks so much.
A pleasure, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.